So glad that all glory and honor goes to Jesus. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's prepare for our morning offering. Lord, we thank you this morning for the worship of your holy name. And we thank you that all praise and honor and glory goes to thee. And Father, as we come to this time of offering, we thank you that it is a part of worship. And that is why we do it at this time, Lord. We worship you in our tithes and offerings, O God, and we thank you for who you are. We give you the praise and glory this morning. We ask you to bless the gifts today. And Lord, that they would go towards the furtherance of the gospel, that some folks would be saved as a result of our giving, Lord, and that your light would shine through this church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Oh, praise the Lord. All righty. Thank you, Jesus.
I'll catch you up on you.
He's on a monthly income. Praise the Lord. Grab your Bibles this morning. And I'm so glad this morning that it doesn't matter if we have 2 or 2,000. Amen. The Lord is in our midst. 2 or more, he said. Well, glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to Mark chapter 14 this morning. Mark chapter 10, make that. Mark chapter 10. And as we come to Mark chapter 10, we have a passage of Scripture that is really incredible. And what takes place in this passage of Scripture is absolutely mind-boggling. Because remember that Jesus is the creator of all things in heaven and earth. Jesus created everything that there is. And yet we find Jesus here in Mark chapter 10 doing something that I find rather amazing for a poor blind beggar named Bartimaeus. Look with me in Mark chapter 10 this morning. And we'll remain seated. Mark chapter 10. I'm going to begin reading in verse 46. But look back for a moment at verse 33. Jesus says to his disciples, "Behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered into the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him to death, and shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him. And the third day he shall rise again." Jesus is preparing his disciples for his departure. Because remember, the kingdom at this point has been rejected by the Jewish leadership. Therefore, Jesus is going to go to the Gentiles with the gospel. He's going to die for the sins of the world. But notice here in verse 34, he tells them he's going to go to Jerusalem. They're going to crucify him. And he's going to raise up himself on the third day. He's going to come back to life. And it just goes like this. Right over the heads. They didn't get it. They didn't comprehend that yet. But this saying they would remember after he was risen from the dead. Glory to God. Look with me in verse 46. "And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, 'Thou son of David, have mercy on me.'" Verse 49. "And Jesus stood still." Time out. Did you catch that in verse 49? "And Jesus stood still." I want to speak to you this morning briefly, beloved, on Jesus standing still. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we come before your presence today. And oh Lord, how I thank you for this passage of incredible Holy Writ. Thank you, Lord, that this has been recorded for generations of the future. That, Lord, we today, 2,000 years after the fact, could glean from this passage and see that you stood still for a poor blind beggar. And you'll stand still for us today when we call upon your name. We thank you, Lord, that you are the sovereign creator of all things that exist. And yet, you find the time to pause and stand still for those in need. We thank you that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And we thank you, Father, that you are ready, willing, and able to take care of any problem that we have in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, we ask your blessing. Amen. Amen. Beloved, our dear Lord Jesus is unchangeable. He's immutable. That means that though he is now in heaven, yet he is still the same as he was while on earth. And that means that if he stood still for someone on earth, he'll do the same even though he's changed his location. The miracle of Jericho has continued to be seen for 20 centuries now. And every single time a poor, lost, blind sinner calls out upon his holy name, he stands still. Everything ceases while he pays attention to that individual. Here is an amazing truth revealed. That is that sinful man has the ability to make his Creator stop whatever he's doing and stand still just for him or her. Wow. I want to propose four questions this morning concerning this passage. Four questions that must be answered. And let me give them to you before we begin. The first question is this. What does it mean that Jesus stood still? The second question is, who and what did Jesus stand still for? Thirdly, what was it about this blind man that caused Jesus to stand still? And fourthly, we'll see, what does it mean for you and me today that Jesus stood still? So first, let's go. What does it mean that Jesus stood still? Look at verse 49. The Bible records clearly, the Holy Spirit had Mark record these words, and Jesus stood still. Wow! Now, let me make a statement here. You got to realize something, folks, this morning. This was not Jesus' normal posture. Jesus was always on the move. The Bible says he went about doing good, preaching the gospel and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, and those who were blind, he opened their eyes. He was working miracles. But here, we find him at a snail's pace. He has ceased his activity to listen to a poor lost man. Now, he had set his face like a flint, as we read in verse 34, to go up to Jerusalem to die for the sins of mankind. But suddenly he is stopped. He is paused as if all the universe stopped spinning. And this man had his full attention. Now, what does this mean? Jesus stood still. I see three things that it means. First, it means that blind Bartimaeus had Jesus' full and complete attention, undivided. Amen? When Jesus stood still and he called blind Bartimaeus to himself, blind Bartimaeus had Jesus' complete attention. You know what my wife wants? She wants me to listen to her when she talks. Sometimes I'll be working on a message or studying Schaefer or something, and she'll be talking to me and trying to tell me something. I'll be, right, honey, right. And then she'll say, what did I just say? And I'll be like, oh, yeah, I know exactly what you meant. What's the problem? Well, I wasn't actually listening to her. But that's not the problem with Jesus. He has Jesus' complete attention, and Jesus is hearing what his problem is. I'm glad Jesus isn't like me. Amen? But listen, when you've got a problem, you need somebody that's going to listen to you, right? You need somebody that's going to hear and do something about it. I'm so glad, first, that it means that blind Bartimaeus had Jesus' complete attention. Beloved, at this very moment, it was as if Bartimaeus was the only person that ever lived. Did you hear what I said? When you call upon Jesus, you have his full appearance and presence and ears. I'm so glad of that this morning. I'm so glad I've got a Savior that will pause and stand still for me. The likes of Bob Oliver? What a great God he is. But secondly, what does it mean that Jesus stood still? Secondly, it means that Jesus is always ready to hear the prayer of those who are in need. Did you catch that? Jesus, and what did the people say to Jesus? They told Bartimaeus, be quiet. You, Jesus said, "Silence! Bring him here."
I love that. I love that because Jesus was ready to hear Bartimaeus' prayer. Oh, I love that. Listen, whatever Jesus is doing, he is never so preoccupied as to disregard the prayer and cries of his children. Amen? Listen, Jesus is always ready to hear us when we're in need. And he's always ready to relieve us of our problems. I'm so glad of that. He's ready, willing, and able. Thirdly, what does it mean that Jesus stood still? Thirdly, it means that Jesus was all there and ready and able to do for this poor man whatsoever he had need of. Oh, I hope somebody's hearing me. It means that Jesus was all there for Bartimaeus. You know what? Jesus was not only there for him, but Jesus was able to do for him what he needed done. I'm so glad that we're no different. Jesus is with us, and Jesus is able to do for us whatever we have need of. He's a miracle worker, and he still is, glory to God. Now, he stood still. Look at that. He stood still in verse 49. He's got his attention. He's listening carefully. Drop back. Hold your place in Mark and drop back a few pages. Go to Matthew chapter 28. Watch what Jesus tells his disciples before he ascends to heaven. In Matthew chapter 28, look with me. These are the 11 that stayed faithful, the apostles, right? In verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw him, they worshipped him. They worshipped him. That's a good thing to do, to worship Jesus. But some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go, therefore." Jesus says, look, boys, after they worshipped him, he said, "I want you to know something. I am omnipotent." Jesus says, "I have all power in the heavens and in the earth." That means whatever you have need of, I can take care of. I'm so glad this morning that Jesus is almighty. Jesus is all-powerful. And Jesus stood still for Bartimaeus. Glory to God. The incredible Charles Wesley penned these words long, long ago. Stopped by a sinner's prayer, thou canst no farther move. Thou canst no more forbear to manifest thy love. Thou waitest now to show thy grace and callest me to seek thy face. Stopped by a sinner's prayer. It just boggles my mind that the creator of all things is willing to pause and listen to the prayer of worms like us. He is so glorious. What does it mean that Jesus stood still? It means that every time a soul comes to him, he has his undivided attention. But secondly, this morning, I see another question. Question number two is, who and what did Jesus stand still for? Notice who and what Jesus stood still for. Verse 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he, Jesus, went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, there were throngs, multitudes with him. Listen. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Here's a guy with a little tin cup. Alms for the poor. Alms for the poor and blind. Listen, folks, he was in a rough shape, this guy. He needed Jesus. Verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and to say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still. I love it. Because whenever a poor lost sinner cries out to Jesus for mercy, he gets his attention. Jesus is looking for one prayer from a lost man. "Have mercy on me, Lord. Forgive me my sin. Save me, Lord. Save me from the penalty of my sin, which is eternal separation from you." Oh, I love that. "Have mercy on me." And immediately, Jesus stood still. Wow. Remember, beloved, Herod could not make Jesus stand still.
Pilate couldn't make them stand still, nor the chief priests, nor the scribes, nor the Pharisees. Not even the bloody and torturous vision of the cross could cause Jesus to slow down his pace at all, let alone make them stand still. So we need to ask, who and what did Jesus stand still for here in our text? I see two things about Bartimaeus that caused Jesus to stand still. First, Jesus stood still for one who was blind. Look at that, verse 46. The Holy Spirit has Mark record that it was blind Bartimaeus. Bartimaeus could not see Jesus, but Jesus could see him. Listen, those people out there today can't see Jesus, but Jesus sees them, and Jesus desires to save them. Amen? Look it. Remember when Jesus said to the Pharisees, "I am come for the blind and the sick"? And they said unto him, "We be not blind. We be not blind." Jesus said, I'm come for you then. You have to know your condition in order for Jesus to heal you. If you don't know you're spiritually blind, you cannot be saved. You cannot have your spiritual eyes opened. Blind Bartimaeus knew he was blind. He knew he was blind, didn't he? He's sitting there begging because he can't go to work because he's a blind man. He can't work a regular job. He's got to beg for money to get food. The poor guy was blind and he knew it. And Jesus stood still for him because he knew it. Oh, secondly, who did Jesus stand still for? Not only stood still for a blind man, but he stood still for one who was poor. Look at verse 46. When they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side. What's the next word? Begging. Begging. He was poor. You know how I know he was poor? Because he didn't have two nickels to rub together. He had to beg and hold out a cup and say, "Please give me a coin so I can get something to eat." He was poor and he was blind. He was in bad shape. But here comes Jesus. You know what, folks? He stood still for a poor man. And he still does today. Bartimaeus had a need. The problem with most people today is they're too rich. They don't understand their spiritual bankruptcy. They won't come to Jesus because they think they don't need him. That's a dangerous position to be in. Did you know that Jesus still stands still for people who will recognize their spiritual blindness and spiritual poverty? He loves to. We must come to him as poor, blind people. We must come to him as having nothing to offer God except our faith. Amen? He stood still for a blind man and a poor man, and I'm glad he does today. I remember when I was working in New York, going to Bible college at night, full-time Bible college and full-time diaper men. There were two men that I had been witnessing to for some time at work. They were both supervisors over me. One guy's name was Phil, and the other guy's name was Gary. And they both smoked. They were chain smokers. They always had a cigarette in their mouth. And I knew that that these guys weren't saved, you know, just by the way they talk. And so I try to slip in a word for the Lord once in a while, you know, now I don't want to hear it. And I remember one day I was driving in the truck alone with Phil, and I tried to talk to him about the Lord. And he said, "Look, Bob, I don't want to hear it. I was born Catholic and I'll die Catholic. I don't need Jesus. I don't need the Bible." I said, "Okay." Another time I was driving in the truck alone with Gary, and I tried to talk to him, and he said, "No, don't talk to me about Jesus." He says, "I'm not religious at all, and I don't like somebody telling me what to do, even God." And I said, "Okay." Well, guess what? Gary and Phil, within a month of that time, both came down with lung cancer from all the smoking, and they both died. 3 months, they were both dead. And I tried, and I tried. You know what? Those guys did not understand, like Bartimaeus did, that they needed Jesus. Sadly. Oh, my heart broke for those guys. I knew them personally, and now they've gone into eternity without Jesus. It's just horrifying to think. Their problem was twofold. First, they thought that they could see what their future held just fine. Second, they thought that they had everything they needed to face death. But they didn't, because they didn't have Jesus. Bartimaeus understood both of those things, that he needed Jesus to face death. And he found him, glory to God. But thirdly, we have another question. What was it about this blind man, Bartimaeus, that caused Jesus to stand still?
Look with me at verse 49. Verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him, Bartimaeus, to be called. Notice that word, called. Why? Why did Jesus command his men to bring Bartimaeus to him? What was it about this man that caused Jesus to want to speak to him? We've already seen that he had a great need. He was poor. He was blind. But looking more closely at the text, beloved, we discover that there was much more about him that Jesus knew. First, there was a strong desire. When he sought for sight, he meant it. He was sincere in wanting to be healed by Jesus. Did you hear what I said? Jesus wanted them to bring him to him because Jesus saw the desire in his heart. There has to be a desire in the heart. Let me make a statement. You cannot twist anybody's arm against it. You cannot force somebody to come to this church and worship Jesus and get born again. It won't work. There has to be a desire. Bartimaeus had a strong desire. He's crying out for Jesus. He had a strong desire. Amen? He was sincere. He meant it when he came to Jesus. Secondly, what was it about this blind man that caused Jesus to stand still? Secondly, there was earnest pleading. Look at verse 47. When he heard, Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus, he began to cry out, Jesus! Jesus! Son of David! Have mercy on me! Look at verse 48. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried out the more, a great deal, oh, Son of David! Have mercy on me! They couldn't shut this guy up. You know why? He listened because he had an earnest pleading. He had an earnest pleading. And you got to plead for Jesus to find him. Listen, he called upon the name of the Lord Jesus with great desperation. You know, it's sad that some folks, they have to, my goodness, they have to come to their deathbed. You know, that guy's dying in the hospital. Lord, if you let me live, I'll serve you for the rest of my life. Well, the Lord heals the guy up and then he goes his own way and never goes to church, nothing, you know. He didn't mean it. Bartimaeus meant it with an earnest pleading. Thirdly, what was it about Bartimaeus that caused Jesus to stand still? Thirdly, there was messianic recognition. All this is important. Look at verse 47. And he began to cry out, saying, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Verse 48, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Bartimaeus recognized the Messiahship of Jesus Christ. He knew who he was. He said, you are the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant. You are the King Messiah. Listen, folks, if you're going to come to Jesus and find him, you've got to first understand who he is. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. You can't be like a JW and just believe that Jesus was a nice prophet, a nice teacher, but not God. You won't find the Jesus of the Bible that way. You can't be like the Mormons and believe that Jesus was the brother of Lucifer and find Jesus that way. You've got to know who he is. There was messianic recognition. He believed that Jesus was the fulfillment of the Davidic covenant promised by God through Abraham and David. Listen now. Fourthly, what caused Jesus to stand still? There was acknowledgement of guilt. Look at verse 47. And when he heard it, that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have what? Mercy. Have mercy upon me, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. I've transgressed. I've sinned, Lord, and I need mercy. Verse 48. Thou Son of David, have mercy upon me. There must be an acknowledgement of guilt in order to come to Jesus and be saved. We must say, hey, I've sinned, and I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to be separated from you, Lord. I don't want my sins to take me to the lake of fire, ultimately, at the great white throne. I want to be saved from my sin. Lord, have mercy on me. I'm guilty. That's what Bartimaeus said. I am guilty, and I need mercy of the Lord. You know that we're all guilty? Every single one of us. Every single one of us are guilty of sin. And every single one of us, every single day, need forgiveness, don't we? We need mercy. I'm so glad that Jesus doesn't just save us and then forget about us. Amen? Because we mess up, don't we? We mess up again and again, and we need mercy again and again. But listen, he had an acknowledgement of guilt. He's saying, Lord, I'm a sinner, I've broken thy commandments, and I need your mercy. This will get Jesus' attention every time. Fifthly, what was it about this blind man that caused Jesus to stand still? There was genuine faith. Look at verse 52. Don't miss this. Verse 52. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. Jesus said, you've got saving faith. You've got biblical saving faith, Bartimaeus. And I want you to know that you are from this day forth made whole. Oh, I love the picture here. Because one must believe that Jesus can save in order to be saved. What's another word for believe? Faith. 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 He had genuine, what we call saving faith. You know what it says in Romans 10:9? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So we have to believe with a genuine faith. You know, a lot of people make the mistake of having a temporal faith. They have a faith, a momentary faith. You know, Lord, don't let this Mack truck smash me head on and I'll serve you. You know, that's a momentary. That doesn't mean it. He just wants to be saved from the moment. This guy meant it. He had genuine faith. After World War II, in a cellar in Cologne, Germany, there were found on the wall these words, and I quote, inscribed, I believe in the sun. Even when it is not shining, I believe in love. Even when I feel it not, I believe in God. Even when he is silent. It was a POW. Listen, it was blind Bartimaeus' belief that caused him to be healed. But one last question we must answer this morning, folks. Fourthly, what does it mean for you and me that Jesus stood still? Look at verse 49 again. Mark chapter 10. Look at verse 49. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. I like that. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I may receive my faith. Notice the words in verse 51. Jesus said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Glory to God. I love it, beloved, because I've got good news this morning in closing. Because the Son of God is no respecter of persons, he will do miracles for you and me, just like he did for Bartimaeus in our daily lives. Listen, I see three things here that demand our attention. What does it mean for you and me that Jesus stood still? First, it means that he, Jesus, will give us peace and security. Look at verse 49. Oh, I love this. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee. First of all, beloved, Jesus will give us peace and security in our lives. Look at that in verse 49. Jesus says, Bartimaeus, don't fret or don't sweat. I've got everything under control. Your eyes are going to be open this day. Look at the word in there. Be of good comfort. He says, let my peace envelop you. Let my love control you. Let my spirit lead you. And I will give you comfort, peace, security. I will do for you what nobody else can do, Bartimaeus. I love it. He will give us peace and security. Secondly, what does it mean for us? It means that he will give us a wonderful life. Look at verse 50. Verse 50. And he, Bartimaeus, casting away his garment, rose. I see resurrection taking place in verse 50. And came to Jesus. You know what Jesus wants to do? For every single person in this world this morning. He wants to give us a wonderful life. He wants us to cast away our garments of self-righteousness, our garments of filthiness, our garments of sin, and come to him, and, look what it says, verse 50, rose, he rose, that's getting up, right? Getting up out of the muck and the mire. Get up, rise, and come to Jesus. You know what happens when we come to Jesus? He gives us an abundant life. He gives us a life that is worth living. He gives us a life that is...
My father's favorite movie of all time, Jimmy Stewart, It's a Wonderful Life. That was my dad's favorite movie of all time. And Jimmy Stewart got saved in that movie. If you follow the narrative carefully, you'll see he became a believer. He got saved. And his life after that, he came home to his wife and he hugged the wife and gave her a big smooch. And kids, come here and give dad a big hug. Why? Because the Lord made his life wonderful. And he does the same for us today. He did it for Bartimaeus. And he'll do it for us. I'm so glad. He gives us a wonderful life. Bartimaeus cast off his old sinful lifestyle. He cast off his old blindness and his old beggarly ways. And he came to the King. And he received a wonderful life. But thirdly, finally, what does it mean for you and I that Jesus stood still? It means that he will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Look at verse 51. Watch this. Don't miss it. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I may receive my sight. Bartimaeus said, Lord Jesus, there's something that I cannot do. I cannot see, and I cannot make myself see. And Jesus came along, and he put his hands upon him, and he says, Be made whole. And he opened his eyes, and Bartimaeus could see everything. You know what happens when you get saved? You can see for the first time the spirit world. You can see that heaven is real. Jesus is my Savior. The devil is defeated. I'm no longer afraid of dying. Jesus is my Savior. Oh, beloved, Jesus will do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Look at verse 51. Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately, not after he was baptized, immediately, not after he joined the church, immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I love it. New song, the Christian band New Song, they've got a song called Your Defining Moment. I love the words of that song. He says, when you see that he is all you need, that will be your defining moment. What a song! And what a great truth in that song. Bartimaeus found his defining moment right here when he met the Lord Jesus and he opened his eyes. It means for us today that whenever and wherever and for whatever you and I call upon him for in our lives, Jesus stands still. And Jesus can do for us what we can never do for ourselves. By the power of his Holy Spirit within. Long ago in France, when Marie Antoinette was on her way to Paris to be crowned Queen of France, she gave a command to her servants that no sick, no poor, and no crippled ones should be allowed by the wayside so that she might not be troubled by the sight of suffering. But in sharp contrast to Marie Antoinette, wherever Jesus went on earth, the sick, the lame, the blind, and the crippled were carried by the hundreds to the wayside, and never did one go away unhealed. Amen. He said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. I'll do for you what you could never do for yourself. I'll open your eyes, Bartimaeus. I'll take care of that sickness. I'll bless you over there. I'll take care of that need. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Jesus wants to stand still for you this morning. And Jesus wants to take care of that little problem in your life this morning. And Jesus is able to do what we could never do. Let's pray. Father in heaven, how we thank you today that, Lord, you're the same as you were 2,000 years ago in Jericho when you met Bartimaeus and changed his life forever. Lord, we thank you today that you are fully able to take care of every little need of our lives and the big ones too. Lord, you prove yourself faithful over and over and over. Lord, thank you for the reaffirmations that we receive daily that you're in our lives, taking care of every need, working things out according to your plans and purposes, and for your ultimate honor and glory, Lord. How we thank you, Lord, for these blessings today, that we can look into your word and see what you've done for others, and that you're no respecter of persons, you'll do the same for us. Lord, we look to you this morning and none else. As we see this world growing more and more dark, more and more wicked, more and more apostasy, even in the church, Lord,
We thank you that you're faithful. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that we can look to you as Bartimaeus did, and you stand still, and you're right there, when and where and for whatever we need you. We love you this morning for who you are, Lord Jesus. We love you for all that you do, and all that you've done, and all that you're yet to do, Lord. And may it all bring you praise and honor and glory through our lives as we yield to thee and let you have your way, Lord. Bartimaeus, he couldn't do anything for himself at all. But along came you, Lord Jesus, and you changed everything. Thank you, Lord, that there's no situation too difficult for you. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you've got it all under control. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you've got plans for us. Thank you this morning, Lord, that you're going to work it all out. Though we can't see light at the end of the tunnel, you know exactly what you're going to do. Oh, thank you, Lord, for being who you are today. And thank you for being our God, our Savior, our Master. Lord, bless this church. Thank you for these here this morning and those who you're yet to bring to us, Lord. We pray your richest blessings upon them. And Lord, that you would make this place such a glorious lighthouse that you would be well pleased in all that is said and done here. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus this morning with thanksgiving. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Tonight, 6:30 if you can, people. We'll be in pneumatology. Not numerology, Tim. Pneumatology. Pneumatology. The doctrine of the Holy Spirit. What a wonderful study it is. Glory to God.